You're listening to the Healthcare Goes Digital podcast. Get ready to be inspired as we explore provocative topics surrounding innovative technologies and ideas with top industry professionals, digital entrepreneurs, and provocateurs. At Impetus Digital, we believe that everything starts with a conversation. We aspire to act as the bridge to not only ignite these courageous conversations, but to also sustain them over time. We do this through our Insight platform, which features our award-winning Insight events and Insight Touchpoint solutions, and through these fireside chats. In the end, our hope is to collectively and positively disrupt healthcare. Let's get started with your host, Natalie Eden, CEO and co-founder of Impetus Digital, an all-in-one, fully serviced virtual collaboration and communication solution for online meetings, events, conferences, and advisory boards for life science companies.
Hi, everybody. My name is Natalie Yeadon. I am one of the CEOs and co-founders of Impetus Digital. At Impetus Digital, we have built some of the best in class asynchronous and synchronous virtual collaboration and communication tools for life science companies across the globe. We've helped everybody from virtualizing advisory board meetings, medical education events, publication working groups, and even large corporate events like sales meetings, et cetera. But most importantly, we really believe at Impetus that everything starts from a conversation. And from these big, hairy, audacious conversations with some of the leading edge thinkers, provocateurs, digital entrepreneurs, that we can all work to positively and collectively disrupt healthcare. So we also feel really strongly that it's not just starting these conversations, it's sustaining and building them over time. And this is exactly what we do in the Impetus Insight platform, having a series of conversations, gathering insights, building momentum, and getting really creative and innovative with the things that we need to do with digital transformation, with these ongoing conversations using our platform. So I'm really excited to have one of these really these digital provocateurs. This is actually Robert Nichelle. He has over 15 years of leadership and management experience in pharmaceutical research and development within the high tech as well as the biotech spaces. In addition, he has successfully raised capital. He's launched and licensed several life science startup companies. He also has a master's degree in biochemistry from the University of Colorado at Boulder, and he holds numerous pharma and delivery system patents. As the CEO and founder of SmartTab, which is the company that we're going to delve into today, Robert is on a mission to bring personalized wireless drug delivery, so totally cool new way and system of delivering drugs to patients in every household and in every country, using this really innovative SmartTab wireless ingestible capsule. Welcome, Robert. So excited to have you on the show.
Yes, thank you, Natalie. Great to be here.
Absolutely. So what a wonderful place. I can't wait to jump into the company, what you've done there. But you've obviously have a ton of experience. And I think for people who are listening to the show today, a lot of people are probably wondering how you landed in this entrepreneurial space, especially in this really interesting digital space around drug delivery.
Yeah, exactly. Great question. And, you know, really my background is in the pharmaceutical space. I've started other companies. And this is really a key with SmartTab is blending drug delivery, wireless. It's really a confluence of different industries and with the developments in wireless technologies, the internet, et cetera. You see all these developments in digital healthcare. So it was our task, our key, our mission to blend these together for optimal drug delivery systems. And that's what we've done with SmartTab. So the entrepreneurial aspect of it, you know, really drawing from building prior companies, background in pharmaceutical, drug delivery. Our chief technical officer is from a wireless background, a wireless hearing implant. So we really are putting all these together and you come up with technology and a device that's quite different than anything else out there today for drug delivery.
It is such an interesting concept. And I have always been a big fan of sci-fi, especially people like Peter Diamandis and Ray Kurzweil and all kinds of different books that he's written on the singularity and et cetera. And I remember distinctly reading about nanotechnology and nanobots. One day, sometime in the future, there was going to be these little machines that go in and specifically pierce cancer drugs and inject whatever needs to happen. And this is going to happen in your lifetime. But all of us were kind of sort of thinking, well, you know, maybe in, you know, 2050. So here you are at SmartTab, in some ways, kind of materializing the vision of this nanotechnology. So was he an inspiration behind SmartTab, or where did the idea come from?
Yeah, it really started with this idea of the last company I started, Nanopharmaceutical Laboratories, where we were bringing high-tech drug delivery systems from the pharma space and applying those to more everyday systems like sports nutrition, consumer healthcare. And then about 4 years ago, looking at this and saying that we successfully brought technology to a completely different industry, and then looking around and say, okay, what can we combine to now advance these drug delivery systems? And that was this entire digital piece, this entire wireless piece. And you start combining these things, and you kind of have this, not necessarily an aha moment, but you see where this could go in the future to huge problems in the healthcare industry, whether it's injections or taking the correct amount of medicine at the correct time, but to have a very systematic approach to where you can swallow a capsule, it can either perform an injection, it can deliver a drug, it can have a targeted delivery system. There's nothing else out there like it commercialized today. So you combine the huge amount of the market combined with a huge amount of problems, for example, people having to self-inject, whether it's diabetes or Crohn's disease or rheumatoid arthritis. And then when you start looking at how we could match our technology, potential technology, and then bring it to the market. And like you said earlier, this is a mission. Our team has started companies, have exited companies, have been successful. This is a mission to bring this technology to market that is truly a game changer.
Oh, absolutely. It's outstanding. So we've heard a lot in the pharmaceutical industry about these targeted therapies and these, you know, these drugs that are going to specific places. How is SmartTab different? And how are you differentiating, say, for example, from, you know, Proteus Health as an example, or other companies that are doing something similar?
Yeah, great question. So really two things there. Touching Proteus first. So Proteus was simply a microchip that monitored whether or not you take in your medicine. A very simple idea. It had nothing to do with drug delivery. You take an aspirin, a tablet, you put a little chip in there and it tells you whether or not you're taking your medicine. It was not very advanced. It didn't deliver drugs. It's totally different than what we're doing. We actually deliver the drugs. We can talk to the capsule. We can monitor where the capsule is. We can tell it when to deliver its payload. But to Proteus credit, they did do some early momentum building with getting an approval for the world's first ingestible electronic device for consumer healthcare. They were able to get FDA approval through the actual product. But for whatever reason, it really didn't maybe solve enough of an issue. My point here is that we're at the beginning of an age of ingestible electronic capsules, and some of these companies are generating good chatter around this space. And then moving on to, you know, our system, the drug delivery system, you're talking about targeted deliveries and where it goes. So for example, our TargetTab, this is something that you have the capsule intact. It moves all the way to the colon, something like Crohn's disease. So where it's very specific, deep in the colon, you can release the active ingredients and treat these diseases that typically are treated with a systematic or systemic process. Now you can focus it on a particular area and only treat that area. So your dose goes down, your side effects go down, it's a much better patient outcome, and the patients feel better overall.
Fantastic. Let's talk a little bit around a couple of your products. Yeah. So you have one product, we just mentioned TargetTab, which is fantastic. Let's talk a little bit also about InjectTab. What exactly is that and how does it work?
Yeah, exactly. Great question. And that's the one that's getting all the excitement right now. So it's basically a capsule. The most simplest premise there is anything that you deliver with a syringe and a needle today, you take it now with a capsule. You swallow the capsule, it migrates to the bottom of the stomach. When the sensors line up, the capsule then makes a very fast injection into the vascular matrix of the stomach. So any drug, maybe let's take like Humira or Enbrel, that these poor patients have to self-inject every week, once a week for who knows how long, maybe a lifetime, to where you can move those technologies, those deployment systems to an internal system with SmartTab. Now, the great thing about SmartTab is it shares our platforms with about 75% of the internal workings. The microprocessor, the battery, the power deployment are all the same. So now we just switch it up. And what's really neat about InjectTab is we have two sub-platforms. One is a solid implant. So if you look at something like an insulin, if you can convert insulin from the liquid, freeze dry it to a solid state, it becomes more stable. So now some of your stability issues with insulin, some of these large molecules, they go away. So now you have a capsule, it's more stable, shelf life is longer. You then swallow it. When it makes it its injection, it's actually a solid state sphere, almost like an implant that then is driven into the bottom of the stomach. And it's very small. I mean, the very tiny diameter, very small, small dose. And then it has a fast dissolving polymer that lets it break down. Other drugs that are not so easily converted into a solid state, something like your new mRNA drugs, like COVID vaccine, well, you do a liquid. So, you know, the dose for the COVID-19 vaccine would fit into our InjectTab. You swallow a capsule, migrates to the bottom of the stomach, sensors align, it makes a very fast injection. After the injection, the needle is retracted and the SmartTab washes out of the system. So if you start thinking about the implications and you start talking to these focus groups, it's a huge market. I mean, many people have to take injections. If you look at like COVID-19, just a deployment to get so many people vaccinated, it's working okay in the United States, but now you start thinking about third world countries. If you could just mail them a capsule, like the InjectTab, they take it with a glass of water, they're finished. You have no disposal issues like the syringe, the needle. Where do they go when they're finished? Not a good path in third world countries. So you start looking at all the implications, and that's why the InjectTab is so exciting today, because today, if you're diagnosed with Crohn's disease, you may have to perform a self-injection once a week for a lifetime. Now imagine the implications if you could take a capsule along with your vitamins every morning, once a week. That would be a game changer.
Well, I mean, this is really interesting. Obviously, the discussion today is about vaccine. It doesn't matter where you go. This is what you're hearing about everywhere you look. And right. The interesting thing about it, outside of what you're talking about, which is teaching patients about their condition and they're self-injecting. So you're already reducing some of the barrier to entry, but it's just more about people who may not want to do that, or it looks out of place with some people and they have to get secretive about it, or they just don't like needles. But when we're starting to talk about vaccinations, where it's almost like an implied acceptance that an individual can't inject themselves with the vaccine, and suddenly there's a reliance on an entire infrastructure that costs millions and billions of dollars, setting up the pharmacies and getting this, that, and everything, and the shipments and blah, blah, blah. It's just insane.
Right.
What does this mean, or could this mean, with SmartTab?
Yeah, in its simplest sense, all that goes away. You get a tablet at your house, your pharmacy. Everybody, almost everybody, can take a capsule, glass of water. So all these frontline workers, all these drive-throughs, that all goes away. You get a capsule at your house, maybe at the pharmacy, maybe the doctor's office. That's it. You're on your way.
So my question to you is, if it makes this much sense, why the resistance, or why hasn't somebody jumped on this?
Well, I think it's a big idea. You need to have, I believe, someone who's really on a mission. If you look at this from a corporate R&D standpoint, your numbers probably wouldn't work out. You know, you spend a lot of time and energy on something that, albeit has a large potential return, you know, it's early. I mean, this has never really been done before, and it hasn't been done before. So, you know, you step out of that to work on something that you're trying to accomplish something that hasn't been done before. you can look through history that a lot of really good big ideas came from entrepreneurs. And you can look at huge changes in the industry, you know, that initially had people had resistance. Oh, it won't work. It won't work properly. There might be side effects. Once they get momentum, and certainly our calls with larger pharma companies have picked up. There's a lot more enthusiasm today because we have clinical studies. We're moving into another clinical study this month yet with the InjectTab. The active ingredient will be insulin. So this is exciting. You know, these are exciting times. So So yes, it is a big undertaking, and you really need to have a team that sees the vision to drive this to the through the finish line.
So Robert, in some ways, SmartTab is ahead of its time, and a pandemic has rolled through where there could have been a great solution, but we're maybe going to experience it in the latter days of maybe potentially future pandemics or the ongoing booster shots required about this new vaccine world that we may be finding ourselves in the future. So who knows what that's going to look like. So moving along to some of your other products, Robert, we've talked about InjectTab, which again has so many great utility as you start to think, like you said, about Crohn's disease and insulin and all kinds of other things. So what a game changer that is going to be. We also talked about TargetTab, which goes into directly into specific areas, for example, in the gut. But tell us a little bit about what MultiTab is.
Yeah, MultiTab is, you know, an expansion of the platform. This capsule is a little bit in the more early stages. Again, about 75% of the platform, the electronics are the same. But there is an issue with people taking antibiotic steroids and you're given a prescription 7 days and maybe people won't take it the entire duration. This causes issues through, you know, whether the antibiotics are effective later, et cetera. But here's the key. You swallow the capsule. It has 7 chambers. We have a proprietary adhesion system. It stays in the bottom of the stomach. And then each day, same time, same place, it releases one of these chambers with the active ingredient. Now, again, this would be indicative of things like steroids, antibodies, et cetera. Anything that really has a 7 or 10 day duration. So here's the great thing. You only have to take one pill. You don't have to sort your pills out for a week. And you're finished. It then automatically dispenses through the timer and the microprocessor at the same time every day. So a lot of the compliance issues go away. If you have a hard time taking pills, which some elderly people do, you don't take a pill every day for your antibiotics, one pill and you're finished. And then at the end of the 7 days, there's a mechanism that basically pushes away or breaks away the capsule and it flushes out of the system. Now, you look at these numbers and there are a fair amount of individuals who are prescribed antibiotics every year. And, you know, this can then be expanded to steroids. Sometimes steroids are prescribed along with other antibiotics to kind of give it a boost for the few days. So you could see these combinations of things that you want to have deployed in a very systematic sequence. Also, if you dig deeper, things like Z-Pak, you take a certain dose the first day, maybe a larger dose, and then it spreads out. Steroids typically have some type of a stepped regimen. So steroids, people can get confused, like how many am I taking on day 3 or day 4, and they miss. And it is important that your steroids, you go high the first day and then it tapers off. All of those compliance issues go away. It's built into one capsule. So we're excited about that one. We will be heading into our first preclinical animal studies, probably late summer. And that is one that we will have commercialized, you know, within the next few years as we move through all the studies. So we're very excited about that one as well.
So how does this apply to some of the bigger areas like oncology? We do a lot, there's a lot of things like dose titration. There's obviously lots of people going in for injections where they have to sit there in an infusion room or a hospital. Where are you thinking applications in oncology, and are there any clinical studies being focused in that space?
Yeah, you know, that's a great question. That's kind of probably our next phase of the company.
Hello. I'll step closer to becoming a reality.
Really built within the dose level. So let's think about this. Let's say you have to go in for chemotherapy or even an IV for like Crohn's. There's a drug, I believe, Estella. You have to go in, get an IV once a month. Why do they give you an IV once a month? a large bolus once a month of an IV, because nobody's going to get an IV every day, right? And if you look at a lot of these drugs, if you could migrate that to once a day dose, it could be better off. So now if you could take a capsule, have a small dose injected every day or every few days, that could be way better than having a large bolus once a month. We do these focus groups and people go in, they know it. The first day they feel sick, they got too much. And then as they get to the end of the week or the end of the month, when everything is gone, they feel very sick again that last week before they go back in. So if you could move that to a once a day dose, now why do you have to do an IV? Well, because again, you're back to your biologics, your large molecules, they'll break down in the stomach. So you need to have a concealed system like the inject tab to inject once a week. So that's a big area to move the IVs to a once a day treatment. And, you know, right now, logistically, again, like I said earlier, nobody's going to give themselves an IV every day or go to the clinic every day. So they have to do the best they can. You get a large bolus. They deploy the IV once a month. People get sick for a week. So it's a huge area. You're exactly right. That's a very big area to look into. And there are significant problems that can be solved in that area.
Robert, the other interesting area that there's a lot of discussion going on right now, which is precision medicine, individualized medicine, literally to the point of Uber customization to an N equals one. I speak to a lot of different people with all kinds of interesting solutions to the point where cocktails are being made, tested on Drosophila flies, and then the doses, you know, the specific concoction is then given to this individual based on their genomic, you know, their genome and all of their genetic factors. What can SmartTab potentially do in the future on this Uber customization of drug dosing based on genomics, other patient characteristics, where the dose and then the cadence at which the dose is sort of extracted or lands or gets disseminated is very personalized to a patient?
Right. Yeah. So our role in that would be the delivery system. So again, these would be proteins, whether they're a mixture of different types of derivatives of DNA, et cetera. Those cannot be taken orally because they will break down in the stomach. So you need to have some type of a concealed system, you know, most likely the inject tab. So our role then would be to deploy these active ingredients via the inject tab into the bloodstream. Because you go back all these, and that's what's so interesting. You have all these high-tech medicines, biologics, the things you just mentioned, but yet we have no good way to get them into the bloodstream. I mean, the syringe and the needle has been around for almost 200 years. So we have these high-tech drugs, just like the COVID-19 vaccine. This is cutting edge. This is great stuff. But how do you get it into the human beings? 200-year-old technology. So that is our role to fill that gap. Not only does the compliance go up, but the efficacy goes up, and you will have a much better deployment system. So that is our role that we would play.
But could you ever see yourself with a pill that you generate from SmartTab that has the dosing specific to a specific patient? As opposed to, you know, pills are made, as you know, they're all made out of the same components. And, you know, some of it's too much of a high dose for some patients and a load, but it's kind of the average. Do you ever see yourselves manufacturing pills that are specific to a patient's genetic or chemical makeup?
Yeah, exactly. So we do. We're actually working on that in some cases to where you would have one pill, and then when it deploys the active ingredient based upon the microprocessor, it would only deploy so much from the pill. So one of the chambers would only inject or eject, say, halfway, and then you have a specific dose. We didn't get into artificial intelligence too much yet, but imagine the implications if you had a 30-day supply of a capsule and you take your capsules for the first 3 days and you have a system, maybe another capsule, maybe a patch, maybe even a SmartTab that's monitoring how that drug affects. So let's say it's something like insulin. So you're injecting it and your sugar's moving up and down, but you're monitoring that. And then that sends those data back to some type of a artificial intelligence database. They run their algorithms, then it comes back and it says, well, for the next 3 days, let's just give you half the dose. So you have now all of a sudden this real-time deployment system. And that's where the future gets really exciting, because we can deploy the system, potentially monitor it. Again, it could be the sugar, it could be blood pressure, it could be heart rate, it could be a lot of things. And then you send that and you have hundreds of other people that are feeding data into the artificial intelligence. They're running the algorithms, goes back to maybe the doctor's PC or even to the person. And then it moves the dose up and down depending on what the AI system tells you to do. So now you have this very personalized medicine, because now you can control the dose on an ongoing basis. And that could change over time. Maybe, you know, in week two, for some reason, your sugar spikes, you give them more insulin, or maybe week three, for some reason, it's lower, and then you back off. So you get into this real-time loop where artificial intelligence plays a big role. And not only do you have a personalized dose, but you can change it in real time.
That is just absolutely the phenomenal part of it. It truly is. So talking a little bit about these implants, these pills that kind of land somewhere and then do stuff, they're technically almost like, there's almost like satellites, and they're responding to a digital control that's on your phone or other systems. And I'm just curious, is it a Bluetooth communication? Do these things that are in your system, are they battery operated? Like, how do they get powered? And how does that communication occur with this external facing phone app, if you will?
Right. Yeah, great question. So, you know, a couple of things on that. With our capsules, we use RF and Bluetooth connectivity. That's how they communicate with each other. The power supply on two of them, multi-tab, inject-tab, is actually a battery, small battery in the capsule. We do use a capacitor setup, because you need a very large surge of power when the injection happens. The target tab, actually, since it travels through the body and it goes to a particular area, uses inductive power. So now no onboard battery. It just has a transmission side for the power, receiving side. Use a three-way antenna, so the orientation of the capsule doesn't matter. So you can send in the power. Our signal rides on top of the inductive power wave. So there's a lot of proprietary, you know, things going on here with the different capsules. As far as maybe back to the smaller things like nanobots, et cetera, how do you power those? There's some early systems that are using, they're harvesting power, harvesting energy from the body. So the body has different pH levels as you move through the GI system. Your blood has different electrolytes in it that you could.
Looks like we ran into a little bit of a technical snafu, but you're back. So welcome back. So tell us a little bit about, just finishing that conversation though, about the being able to retrieve energy from, you know, electrical differences in the blood. And that's what we were talking about.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, someday you will have kind of self-powered devices. And then, you know, the other part I started to touch on was to have the ability with our capsule, the next platform will be a biome capsule to actually go in and take samples. So let's say something today like colon cancer, you could go in and actually obtain samples through a capsule. So you don't need to go to the clinic and, you know, go through the anesthesia and out and all these probes and things, endoscopies, just in a capsule. So if you look at our company in general, you know, the power, what we're trying to do is really reduce everything to a capsule and take a lot of these things away that in our opinion are quite antiquated today. And that's really the basis of the smart hub.
I mean, Robert, I just can't help but think about how absolutely sci-fi and like incredible, like this technology is like such a game changer. It just kind of makes you wonder why not everybody is jumping on this. But anyway, that's probably just me, because if I was running a pharma company, it would be the first thing I'd be jumping all over. I do think it's really interesting what you're talking about, which is we're so used to, for example, external wearables. So a lot of us have Apple watches, you know, we're wearing, you know, I wear an Aura ring. You know, there's all kinds of things. We're starting to hear a lot about decentralized trials and patients are reporting their outcomes, or it's seamlessly translating like these ambient biometrics. This potentially is a completely different way of implanting something within a person's body system and having a natural way to do what you call biopsying or diagnostics. Not only is it built-in diagnostics, but it's diagnosing and then treating. Tell us a little bit about some of the thinking or the future thinking around being both a diagnostic and as well as a treatment regimen.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, the treatment side is where we go first. And then from there, it will branch out. So you'll see a branch go to diagnostics. We're already employing some diagnostic devices in the injectable, for example. It will measure the pH. It will measure different types of orientation in the system. It can measure different types of temperature sensors. So we're already, you know, trying to embed some of these sensor technologies into the capsules. The multi-tab, right? This is going to stay in the system for a week. So there may be an opportunity to monitor how do your pH levels change if you're sick. As you're getting better, do they change? And maybe the key here is, can you treat for those, right? So as we collect different vital signs, can you treat for those? Moving down the road as it expands to more everyday drugs like high blood pressure, cholesterol, you could do some type of a, you know, real-time monitoring and then adjust those doses. So, you know, our goal is that many things that you either monitor for today or you treat for become in the format of an ingestible capsule. And, you know, that's really the game changer. And then once you have that inside of the body, and then as we talked about earlier, that ties into an artificial intelligence system. So you get these real-time feedbacks. And another key too that we're working on is we're trying to expand the deployment of these devices so you can get more fitness into the overall United States population. It's always been interesting to me is we have all this technology today, and the most fit people are certainly more fit than they were 30 years ago, but you have less fit people. It's like something in this entire matrix isn't working because you still have, you know, all the diseases and things like this, and, you know, people that maybe are less fit. So we want to help deploy these medicines or prescriptions or monitoring. So maybe not everybody will wear a smartwatch, but they'll take a capsule perhaps. And that's what we're working on longer term.
So fascinating. Now, I'm just going to kind of stretch this a little bit. And I'm thinking recently about all recent news with Elon Musk's company called Neuralink, which we've all heard. We've all heard about the famous, you know, monkey playing Pong and being able to control the game just from their mind. Could you see the day where some of the smart tab technology may be manipulated, not so much from an external phone, but through the mind, just like the neural link is controlled by the mind? And not if it's not the mind, but some of the deeper neurological circuitry that we don't maybe understand today and how it works. And it may not just be about chemistry. There could be a whole smorgasbord of signals, including certain firings of neurons and neurobiochemistry that almost can predict somebody's degeneration or whatever. And it just, there's an ability, for example, to increase longevity with these sort of smart tab pills, nanobots, whatever you want to call them, involved in the internal system. I'm just kind of throwing this out here, and it's pretty sci-fi, but I can't help but thinking that this could be the future.
Well, you're exactly right. And I have 2 points on that. So number one, you're right. I mean, it is out there and nobody really understands how that works, how you could control things with the mind or communicate or how you incorporate that with smart tab. So nobody's really, you know, figured that out yet. Second thing is the neuro and all that, it already exists. Have you ever been in a conversation with maybe a relative, a spouse or something, and you're talking about a completely different subject, and then they ask a question that you were about to ask? It happens. So this idea of neuro and electromagnetic signals to the brain, my opinion and other people as well, is that already exists. That already happens. Like, how did you know that? I was just going to ask that. And that happens frequently with people that you're close to, because somehow maybe over time you get on the same signal. So you're right. So I believe it already exists. Now, I don't think anybody really understands it or really, you know, have we crafted any type of medical devices to optimize that. But longer term, I believe that will exist. How many years? I don't know. But it is out there. And this idea of, you know, telepathy and, you know, telecommunications with the mind and, you know, how can you incorporate that into the device? I believe that is real and it will have applications, but, you know, will it be in our lifetime, 100 years, But it's an interesting.
I think the unsolved mystery is the mental health issues, because that has this invisible veneer to it that nobody can figure out. And if you can kind of manipulate and somehow systematize it with the right kinds of formula, it'd be really interesting that somebody sends out, or there's a lack of serotonin and somebody's feeling depressed, that something actually injects a little bit of that, so they're feeling good again. So it's kind of intriguing and potentially very exciting. And I can see how some people would be scared by that too. So on that note, so you're a patient or a physician. So there's this brand new thing, Smart Tab. It's got all kinds of cool things. I can control this by my phone, all that. Why would a patient and a physician be hesitant about wanting to take this?
Well, it's new. And I think you can see different industries, 50, 60 years ago, when the first microwave came out, there was a lot of hesitancy around that. Will it cause cancer? Will it cause these, is it like a small nuclear device? And over time, as it worked, you didn't have side effects or anything, people used it. And then now they're everywhere. You see that same thing with the COVID-19 vaccines. I mean, that's real time today. Just the article this week about how half of the Marines won't take it. So, that's real time today. So over time, as more people take it, side effects, you don't see that goes, then it becomes more widely acceptable. Same thing with the Smart Tab. We understand that, because you're going to be in a doctor's office. They say, here, take this pill. It has electronics. It has your 1 week dose. It's like, there will be resistance. We know that. So you get it to the people who will take it. They don't have side effects. It works. It works much better than the conventional standard, which could be the, taking capsules for a week or taking a self-injected syringe and a needle. But we understand that. I mean, with any new technology, there will be an uptick in the people taking it, but it will take some time.
Now, funny that you're talking about COVID-19, and there's all kinds of, I'm not going to spend all our time talking about political things, but there's all sorts of really interesting and intriguing conspiracy theories out there, including the fact that certain people in the world are injecting, certain things under the skin, and it's being managed by 5G, and people are taking over the world, and everybody's going to be part of this singularity, single entity, cog in the wheel, internet. Are you hearing some of these conspiracy theories? Or do you guys just keep your eye on the ball and stay away from people sort of saying, Smart Tab is the plague, and they've got a signal on their tab, and they're going to take over the world?
Yeah, I mean, I think the conspiracy theories, they certainly exist. COVID-19 is a good one because it's happening very fast. You never had so many vaccines deployed so fast in the world as the COVID-19 vaccine. So it makes for a great storyline. Smart Tab, we know those will exist. Certainly with the internet, you can get the conspiracy theories out there very fast. They can be very effective. But we looking ahead, we understand that, we get it. And we will do everything we can through studies, through science, to show that these are solid. Now, we do have a little bit of an advantage that we are injecting known molecules. So if you're injecting insulin, it's known, right? You could, in theory, be injecting something else with a syringe and a needle today. It doesn't have to be COVID-19 vaccines. It would have to be insulin. So, we just bundle that together, use the science. And again, I think, longer term, as these things are deployed, then you debunk a lot of those conspiracy theories. But like I said, I mean, COVID-19 is a good one because you have billions of people they'll be vaccinated with something. It's never happened in the world before. It's never happened in the history of mankind before. That many people this fast.
And all these digital transformations, including smart tabs and these little nanobots. Yeah. I mean, it's new technology and it's happening very quickly, and people need time to digest it. So you have, just like everything, knowledge and acceptance, it follows a bell curve, and you get some of the, the biohackers and the people who just accept it instantly, people like myself. And then there's other people who will never accept it, including the fear, like you said, of getting cancer, or a conspiracy theory that somebody's taking over the world with this stuff, and they're going to be surveilling us and monitoring everything we're doing with these little chips that you're putting in everybody. So it'll be interesting to see what the discourse and dialogue is on that. So with all of this said, I'm just curious about how you're planning to compare yourself to a injectable, or the version that is required to take this over time, or the titrations and what have you. Are you actually doing head-to-head studies in clinical studies, and is the plan to be better than? And then also for the questions for the pharma companies, if they wanted to partner with you, can they see about adding and manufacturing their drug formula with your packaging and be able to actually increase the patent life of their drug?
Yeah, exactly. A lot of good points there. So on the patent, first of all, yes, you could update the delivery mechanism with a smart tab. You could get a patent extension, depending on what that looks like. It could be 5, 10, 20 years even, which would be huge. So if you had a blockbuster drug, you get another 20 years of a high level of revenues. That would be significant. As far as the clinical studies go, we start out right now, we're in the mode of showing that the device will work. And then we file with the FDA to get a clearance on the smart tab device. After that, we start plugging in real active ingredients and going head to head as a comparison. The goal then is to be better, to have a better, more effective dose. So we believe that injecting into the vascular matrix, the bottom of the stomach, will provide better results. Therefore, you could adjust your dose a little bit, back off on the dose level. And those would be head-to-head comparisons with same molecule, same active ingredient. One's a syringe and a needle, and then one would be our smart tab. So those are a little bit later in the cycle.
Yeah, I'm just kind of curious, Robert, on that, because it's such an interesting topic. Is technically speaking, if you're really going to be going head to head, for example, a company, maybe that, for example, they don't use it themselves to do their own patent extension and you're going head to head or against them, would it be considered typically like almost like a generic, but with sort of a different skin or delivery, it's better than? And I'm also just curious, would the FDA, as an example, approve this as software as a medical device, as opposed to a brand new drug? Is this a completely new entity besides a biologic or a generic? Is this like another type of generic, but as software?
Yeah, those are interesting points, because there is a path in that direction. We've looked at that path. So there are some options. I mean, the first path is we want to partner with large pharma companies with an existing drug. It's looking to come off patent in the next 3 to 5 years. Incorporated with smart tab, they would have the rights to that. They could extend their patent life. That's a good way to go. Now, this part about the generics, that's really interesting, because if you look at some generic companies historically, if you take a drug and then maybe you change not the delivery mechanism, but the timing. So if you take a drug and time release it, there would be opportunities to take a normal drug, time release it, get another patent. It isn't really generic, but you file a new drug, you go through everything, but now it's time release. You have a lock on that market. So that would be really interesting, to take a drug that you could then time release. The other one then is a true generic, to where you just take the same drug, you put in a smart tab, you say, look, it has the same effect, same efficacy, but now it's going to be in this generic market. How would that be regulated? How would that be approved? That, I think, needs to, you know, kind of, we've looked at that, and, you know, we have not really explored that in terms too much, because like I said, you know, the first one would be pharma company's partner. And then you go to changing the drug itself to a time release mechanism. Certainly with like the multi-tab, to where you could take a lot of drugs. Now that would become a time release mechanism, right? If you deliver it 7 days, it won't have to be antibiotics. It could be a lot of different things. Imagine taking your blood pressure once a month, and you know, then you have 30 chambers and it releases. That would be pretty innovative. That would be pretty effective. So that's kind of how we're looking at the landscape.
Are you looking at other interesting technologies in terms of the development of these smart tabs? I'm thinking futuristic, as in really advanced 3D printers. And I'm wondering where quantum computing comes into the development of your future smart tabs.
Yeah, exactly. So we did have a scientist here, and then he moved on to do another round of graduate school. And he actually went to a very high-end school in I believe it was Denmark, and it was for quantum computing, like this leading edge quantum computing. So we, you know, before he left, we talked about that quite a bit. There's definitely an area. I mean, you could put almost a full-on computer inside of these capsules today with quantum computing. And then if you start thinking about how that ties into the artificial intelligence and the real-time dosing, the future is the limit with what these
Absolutely.
Types of bring. But yeah, there's definitely space for those technologies.
Oh God, I think it's just super exciting. Like I would be jumping all over it. It's the more you dig in, you go, wow, this is really cutting edge.
Right. Yeah. And it's happening.
It is happening, and you guys are doing it, which is great. But it actually does make me ask the question. I mean, as we start to think about potentially paving the way for completely new regulatory approval process. It's possible this might not fit in anything and it might be brand new, which is always time consuming and scary in itself. The question comes down to ultimately access. Somebody has to pay for it. Is this going to get into public markets? How far away are we on actually having that kind of market access conversation?
Yeah, exactly. So great point. So if you look at the inject tab, that'll probably be the first one we get to market with. So after we move through the regulatory aspects, the approvals, we're at about 36 months from today to commercialization. If you look at the pathway to do that, what is the market? What drives it? 50 billion injections last year worldwide. So if we can grab a percentage of that, now look at your more expensive drugs. You start going after the more expensive drugs, Humira, Enbrel, et cetera. There are even more expensive drugs out there than that. If you charge say $50 a capsule, take it once a week, that pales in comparison to the $70,000, $80,000, $100,000 a year per patient for the drug. So if we're adding our costs on top of that, it's a very marginal, small increase. If you look at things that are on the market already, like Humira or Enbrel, they have the sure stick pin, stab it in your leg, still a needle, you still feel it. It looks a little cooler, but that's like $200 a pop. So not only are you adding a small marginal increase, but it's more expensive than we're at. Then they have this auto injector box. I don't know if you've ever seen one of these. It's pretty cool. It has lights and a sound. You put it on your thigh. You still get stabbed with the needle. It still hurts, but it looks cool. And those are like $600 for the device. Then you replace the ampoules each time you use it. So the point is that there's a huge market to where there's a big need. We know that. Our pricing fits right into the matrix. We know that. Consumers are eager to take it. Payers are eager to reduce costs because they're already spending money on the sure stick pen or the auto inject. And it's a big market. I mean, you look at like Humira, $20 billion plus each year. Crohn's disease, if you look at the number of people, I believe it's over 3 million people worldwide. So these are big numbers to where it's a big solution. But if you look at the marketing, the numbers, the matrix, it does work. And to your point, there are some devices or drugs that they don't work. I mean, like a lot of things in life, it's what the market will bear. And the inject tab, as well as our other things, it has a good cost matrix benefit for everybody involved.
Do you propose that, or do you see in the future that this world is going to be much more patient-centric? Meaning, can you see the day with things like smart tabs or digital pharmacies or the ability to self-diagnose with smart pills and then inject? Do you start to see that patients or consumers of health will potentially, this will democratize healthcare and maybe in some ways replace the traditional healthcare practitioner and bringing it more into the hands of the consumer?
Yeah, it will. I mean, you're starting to see some of that already, right? The COVID pandemic has kind of driven that through telemedicine. It kind of forced telemedicine to evolve very quickly. I think a lot of this will depend on people. I mean, there are a lot of people that still like to go in and see their doctor face-to-face in person. You know, telemedicine, it's tough. I mean, like a lot of these electronic things, it's tough to get, you know, very personal, whether it's, you know, emails a lot of times come across confrontational, you know, telemedicine. So a lot of people still like to go in and see the doctor. You still have your entire sector of surgeries and surgeons. And, you know, so if you look at, you know, what we're talking about, kind of this, you know, daily delivery, weekly delivery of drugs, that's certainly one part of healthcare, but there's this whole other piece that still exists within person. And to me, you know, personally, I look at how do you really cut cost in the healthcare industry? I mean, we're talking about deploying drug delivery for these chronic diseases, but if you can get everyone more healthy, there are a lot of really good devices that can help with that. So if you had a really healthy nation, a lot of these problems would go away. You'd wipe out more cost in healthcare just by doing that than coming up with these new drugs. So we're focused on the true diseases, you know, the things that are not necessarily related to health, you know, they're true diseases and how we can effectively monitor those. But the healthcare industry is going to expand. I mean, it's going to change. It's going to have this big evolution much more to digital health.
there's really positive aspects to thinking about things like Smart Tab, and I'm thinking about potentially sending people up to Mars, the moon, space travel, and being able to manage food, drugs, other things that they need from the Earth, as an example. But I'm also thinking about some of the dystopian things, which is concerns about things like, I don't know, chemical warfare and people injecting these things or shooting these out, and, you know, they inject people with these. Where's your stand on this, and how do you kind of battle this back and forth between the utopian and dystopian views of the kinds of technologies that your company is dabbling in?
Yeah, so the biggest thing is we base it on science and try to educate and promote everything we do with science. And, you know, like we talked about earlier, I mean, these conspiracy theories, they're out there and they exist. And it's, you know, like each time an industry takes a step forward, it seems like with technology, there's something bad that's trying to really, you know, tackle it on the other side. So just the other night, you know, the chairman of the Federal Reserve, he was on 60 Minutes, and he was talking about today, it isn't necessarily the economy that's the threat, it's cyber attacks. So a cyber attack 30 years ago, it's like, you know, no threat. So today, we have different threats to healthcare, to medicine, conspiracy theories. You know, you didn't have these platforms 30 years ago, you didn't really have an internet, so you didn't have ways for this to ramp up. So as we move forward, we just need to be cognizant of those items, and we need to be, you know, addressing those, try and get in front of them, like in terms of education, and no, this isn't a bad thing, it's really to help. And, you know, you just drive that home, and then you do the best you can with managing the conspiracy theories.
It's a wonderful thing. And just at the top of the hour, I'd love for people to hear a little bit more about the podcast that you run called Who Would Have Thought? Tell us a little bit about the podcast, what kind of guests you have, and why Smart Tab is running a podcast.
Yeah, and it's really this idea to expand people's thinking. Like if you go back 50 years, 100 years, you went back 100 years ago and said, you know, we're cooking food on an antiquated stove and fire. Who would have thought, you know, in 80 years we'd have the microwave? Or in 1980, you would have said, oh, cell phones, they don't exist yet. You kind of have some of these, you know, CB radios and things. You say, well, in 30 years, you're going to have a phone that you talk to people. We'll go anywhere. And like, who would have thought? You know, and then today we try to get leaders of different industries on our podcast to think about, okay, in 30 years, something happens. It would be like, who would have thought that that would have been something else? And if you really look at the industry, you know, the last 200 years in America, you had the big industrial revolution in the 1800s. He said, who would have thought, you know, like these things like steel and oil would have converted into everyday items today? Even in the mid 1800s, the automobile, you know, who would have thought you'd have all these cars racing around today? And the other thing that I think is really interesting is how entrepreneurs look at these industries, like, you know, the oil and gas, and that's really where your first, you know, like millionaire was created. And you saw oil deployed very widely. And then sometime in probably the 80s on computers, right? That was the 1960s, you had televisions kind of in every house. If you would have said 1960, you're going to have a computer in every house in 40 years again. Who would have thought? So those are the types of things that we try to focus on.
I absolutely love it, Robert. This was such a great conversation. We could literally speak for many, many hours. It's such an exciting area. For anybody who's listening to this and are interested in connecting with Robert, we're going to be leaving his contact details. So please reach out to him. If you're a pharma company, if you're interested in partnering, doing some work, we will be leaving that in the show notes. I loved leaving that on the who would have thought, because this is exactly what Impetus actually does with our Insight platform. Who would have thought? Bring some of these great beyond the pill ideas, these provocative thoughts, gathering insights from your customers, payers, patients, physicians. Help us to solve some of these great things that you're doing and thinking about at pharma, especially as you're looking and delving into your digital transformation. We can actually help you with that with a bunch of asynchronous and synchronous virtual touch points, and building partnerships with a lot of these people that you do work with. So please check us out at impetusdigital.com, and as well as a new Insight events platform where we can run corporate meetings for you as well. So thank you for everybody. Please like and subscribe, leave us a review on our podcast channel, and wishing everybody a great day. Thank you, Robert, so much. Yeah. It was a pleasure having you today, and wishing everybody a wonderful day in advance.
Thank you for listening to this Healthcare Goes Digital podcast. Impetus Digital are the business-to-business virtual engagement experts and provide immersive virtual collaboration and communication solutions for advisory boards, medical education meetings, events, conferences, and projects worldwide, all delivered with our award-winning white glove service. Visit us at impetusdigital.com or book a demo at meetwithimpetus.com to find out more. And visit us on our LinkedIn, Twitter, and YouTube channel to see other inspiring conversations for you to share with your network.